Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. As our custom is, we want to take our scripture readings for today. We want to read the first scripture from the book of John, the chapter 16 and the verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Please, you can. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I want to read the New Living Translation, the same chapter and the same verse. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him unto you. Our second reading is the book of Romans chapter 8, the verse 5 and 14. It's going to be a long reading. I'm going to read. And I don't know if you could help us with the New Living Translation. If you cannot, let's read the King James. Romans. Chapter 8. The verse 5. All right. Let's go. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let's continue. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subjected to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Or shall I read from mine? Okay. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised him, that raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies. For by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye are after the flesh, ye shall die. Ye shall die. But if ye through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The last verse. For as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Our next reading will be in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we read together? And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Again, can we take it? And I, brethren, could not. I can't hear you. One more time. And I, brethren, this is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. This is where you know those who went to a Protestant school and those who went to government school. Hallelujah. Amen. It's been a journey through the studies of things pertaining to the Holy Spirit. We are making progress by the grace of God. Hallelujah. And it pleases the Lord that today, as part of our focus to find more about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that we find out the Holy Spirit and his dealings with the believer. And I know that this is going to be a very interesting season and interesting Sundays, because whatever we are about to find out or learn in this time frame is unto our benefit. What we spoke about in the previous Sundays was to give us some knowledge as to how we can be able to handle those who are without the kingdom. And I mean those who are not born again. We had knowledge about how the Holy Spirit is able to minister to them through our obedience to what? Give ourselves out. And we find that the ministry of the Holy Spirit to those who are without is on what? The premises of what? Conviction and not convincing. Now, when you are born again and you are part of the church now, what exactly is the work of the Holy Spirit, or what is the services? Because we know ministry is what? Service. What are the services that are guaranteed that you will benefit from the Holy Spirit? And today, my focus will not be about talking about the services in details, but to open your eyes to certain dangers when we are not serviced by the Holy Spirit as a newborn believer. Hallelujah. So let's start with something that is very critical with our first chapter or first book that we read, the book of John chapter 16, verse 7. The New Living Translation said that it is the best. Wow. John chapter 16, the verse 7. The NLT says, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away. It's best for you. The King James said that nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. It's for your benefit. It's for your benefit. Jesus, to that, if we want to understand how this very sentence is very strong, we have to understand who Jesus was and is to the disciples at such a time when he was talking. The disciples have walked with Jesus for at least 2.5 years. And one day, from the book of John chapter 14, he decided to sit them down and give them the news that can ever break their hearts. And the news was that his time on earth is up and he has to leave. In our previous studies, I told you the situation that was at hand when that statement was made. Because of Jesus, these disciples has really become big men in the city. Do you remember there was a time that they were sent to go and do some damage control in the kingdom of darkness? When they came back, Jesus asked them, did you lack anything? He said, oh, forget about what we lack. Let's tell us what we did. In fact, demons and the devils were bowing to us. So these guys have already caused some damage in the realms of the spirit. If you recall very well, one of the stories in the Bible, they brought to them a child who was what? Tormented by what? Epilepsy or lapses. And he threw himself into fire. Because of what they saw the disciples have done before, they believed that they have what it takes to be able to do that. So they brought that child to them. So these disciples have really had a taste of what their boss was doing and the mess the boss and them are causing in the city. In fact, provoking the Pharisees, being on the nerves of these 36. So these people were not expecting that their boss would leave them soon, because they were the champions of the city now. Are you with me? Then one day, once they were there having a very good chat, then the boss said, "Guys, I want to tell you something. I'm leaving you people. I wish I could see their faces over there." That was a serious statement. So in the chapter 14, he started talking about the reasons of his leaving, and then he mentioned the Holy Spirit to them. He is their comforter. He continued in chapter 15 now to tell them and encourage them. "I am the vine, you are the tree, you have to bear fruit. The Holy Spirit shall testify of me." So he was still talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But in chapter 16, whilst he was about to climax all the message, all he was saying from the chapter 14, in chapter 16, in verse 7, he said, "Nevertheless, do not be sorrowful." If you read the previous verse, he said, "Don't let sorrow fill your heart, because I tell you that I'm leaving. It is for your benefit that when I leave, the Holy Spirit what?" So in as much as they were so much broken that their boss was leaving, he told them that my leaving is for your own good, because as long as I stay in the flesh with you, it is to your disadvantage. So Jesus, from the very beginning, saw this mindset in the heart of the in the heart of the disciples, that his absence or his permission to take leave and go back to heaven is for their own benefit. So his absence brings something best to them. So the New Living Translation said that it is, in fact, to your best. Wow. Can you just imagine that? That Jesus says that when I leave, it is to your advantage. Yes. It was to the advantage. So Jesus made it clear that when I leave, the Holy Spirit will come. So the coming of the Holy Spirit is very, very, very important and very beneficial to the believer, because Jesus said it is to their best. So what is this best that Jesus was talking about? In fact, the impact of the Holy Spirit in this world is so strong that even in the Old Testament, according to the book of Job, by the writings of Job, Job acknowledged that the life of every living creature is because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Job chapter 34, verse 14 to 15. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. The essence of the Holy Spirit, even in the Old Testament. Job chapter 34, verse 14 and 15. If the very essence of the Holy Spirit is said so powerful that Job even had record of it, then we can't take this for granted. If he set his heart upon man, if he gathered unto himself his spirit and his breath, verse 15, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn into what? Dust. So anything that is of flesh is automatically condemned to what? Perish, when he take away his spirit. So the Spirit of God has been hovering over the surface of this earth for all this time, and has been there to make sure that all flesh are sustained and that man does not go back to dust. Are you with me? This was the person that Jesus promised the disciples. This was the person that the Holy Spirit said, sorry, Jesus said that it is good for me to leave, that he will come to you. So the Old Testament acknowledged that there is a service, there is a ministry of the Holy Spirit that is already taking effect on this, in this earth realm. That is that the Spirit of God is able to give all flesh the sustainability in this time realm. Therefore, the value of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is such that if we have no knowledge of it, we will pay the price dearly. Are you with me? Are you with me? So when Jesus told them that it's your benefit that I leave, he was really talking about something very deep. So an inadequate knowledge of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is a disadvantage to every believer. Why? Because to us, he was even a promise, to the extent that Jesus said that we should wait till he comes. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. Can we read that too? The ministry of the Holy Spirit is so essential that Job captured it in the Old Testament, that he's the essence for all of flesh. Jesus said that it is more important that he lives for him to come. That's how powerful the ministry of the Holy Spirit is. Now, we find out in Acts that because of how essential it is, let's read. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said ye have heard of me. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days or hence. You know, by this time, the disciples have completed their course lecture. Everything that they need to know, everything that Jesus wanted to teach them, they are done with their course lecture. But he said, even in as much as you have been well trained to understand the concept of the kingdom, it is still not enough. You have to wait for the Holy Spirit to service you. So inadequate knowledge about the ministry of the Holy Spirit as a believer is a disservice to you. Because it was in the interest of us that Jesus lead us in flesh for the Spirit to come. So we are to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer and fully benefit from it, because that is the reason why Jesus left. But are you with me? He would have stayed in flesh. He said, it's better I leave for him to come. Hallelujah. So why is the ministry of the Holy Spirit an inevitable need of the believer? This is the point we are going to look at today. Let's do another recap here, which will be very short. When we are looking into the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the unbeliever, we establish a point that in the course of creation, the decision to create man was the idea of the three in one, two of us. So God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit agreed that they want to bring out a product called man in their image and in their own likeness. And we all agree that in Genesis chapter 3, the project was truncated because in the record of the creation story, we never saw the work of the Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 1, God. Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God. Genesis chapter 3, the Spirit of God. We didn't see him in it. Two of us. So right from Genesis chapter 3, we find out that man was not a complete product, but he was perfect. Do you remember that? Man was never complete but perfect. And I explained this thing to you, that you can be doing something that you have not completed, but you are doing it perfectly. True or false? Hello? Are you with me? Follow me. You can be doing something that you have not completed, but you are doing it perfectly. So God created man, that the man that was there was what? A perfect being, but not a complete being. Because it was three in one who decided to create him. So we have found the God Father, the Father factor, the Son factor. Where is the Spirit of God? We didn't find it. And that was what we called Zoe, the life of God. Man never had the life of God. Are you with me? So it was a need of man. So man missed out in the but completeness of what God wanted him to be, which is the life of God coming to live in him, which is only ministered by the Spirit of God. Are you following? So man must receive that to be able to represent the full image of God. And I told the image is the inward what? Character of God. And not the likeness is not the outward what? Appearance and nature of God. So man had the outward. That's why we had natural dominion over creation. But we never had the spiritual dominion over our spirit, because as at that time, we didn't receive the image. Are you with me? So man naturally have dominion over creation, because that is the out likeness of God. So we are able to fly over in the sky. Is that not it? We are able to move or build, even we are now building houses on the sea. go to the refinery. People are leaving the right crude oil, those who are extracting it. But they've been able to. Man is able to completely dominate everything natural because that is the likeness of God. But till Jesus came, man never had authority over the spirit.
Yeah.
Because the image of God was never completed in man. I'm still talking about the spirit. So we are going for our recap. To add to the whole situation, man actually, to instead of him to keep the very nature of God, that is the likeness of God, that is pure, to attract the image of God in perfection, man actually ended up corrupting it. So we took out a different nature, which is what? The Adamic nature. So not only man did he become complete, man actually changed his whole nature. So the entire product was changed. So the product has to be rewrought, redeveloped. That's how we have what we call it, born again. Are you with me? I'm taking this slowly because this is the introduction to what we are going to do. So man ended up with a different nature, contrary to the nature of God. Now, the issue is that for the Holy Spirit to come and live with us, he has to be the nature of God in us. Is that not it? To attract him. Yeah, is that we have the Adamic nature. So because of the Adamic nature in us, we could not attract the Holy Spirit to come and live in man, which is what will give us the life of God. So God decided to what? Man has to deal with that nature in him for the Spirit of God to have effect. Unfortunately, we were incapacitated because we didn't have what it takes to deal with our own Adamic nature. God then made a provision. Hello? Because it has become a need of man that if man do not receive the life of God, hello, man is subjected to total separation from God. Because it will take the life of God to continue living with God. That is the Spirit of God living in you. So man was totally separated from God, and it was a need of man. So the first need of man was that the Spirit of God will live in man, because man's system was designed for the Spirit of God, not any other spirit. However, because of the corruption that has taken place in man, the Spirit of God cannot live in man. So Abraham didn't get opportunity for the Holy Spirit to live in him. Not even the Moses. Not even David. Because there was no way the system that was operating them could receive the purity of the life of God. So God decided to save man and made a provision for it. And this need was very important, that the nature of man, which is the Adamic nature, will be changed to the very nature of God. When this provision came, it took the Holy Spirit to help man to receive it. So the first ministry that the Holy Spirit gives or gave to man was what we called the ministry of what? Conviction and convincing. That indeed there is a nature in you that could not or cannot receive the true life of God. And for that matter, you have to admit that number one, there is a sin nature. Number two, the righteousness, the right alignment is what? God. And number three, there is judgment. That is the recap I want us to do. Why we need the ministry of the Holy Spirit is because without the Holy Spirit, we cannot admit that we are not qualified for the Spirit of God to live in us with the Adamic nature. Are you with me? Hello? Are you with me? Good. So the acceptance of the offer of God for the new nature is only by the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit does not convict the person cannot do it. Now, when we are born again, what happens is that the spirit of man, the dead spirit, is translated, reborn. Follow me. This is the point where I want you to pay critical attention. The spirit of man is reborn. Don't forget that man is created in threefold. We have what? The spirit of man, the soul of man, and the flesh of man. When man accepts the conviction of the Holy Spirit, what happens to man is that it is the spirit of man that is affected. That is it. So the Bible says we are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the marvelous light of his Son, Jesus Christ. The spirit of man. The Holy Spirit does not end over there. When somebody becomes born again, the person moves from a state we call the natural state, which is the Adamic stage, to what we call the carnal stage. So in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 1, carnality is nothing of unbelievers. Carnality is the thing of the believer. And carnality is the state of the newborn believer. And this is where the problem is. When we do not understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer. Because we have led many people to the church and we have ended it there with them and they have become what they are now because we never expose them to the next phase of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as what? Unto what? Spiritual. But as unto what? Carnal. And even as unto babes in what? Christ. So, and the newborn believer is what we call the carnal Christian. So when you are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, your first state that you live is what we call the carnal state. Who led you into the carnal state? Is the Holy Spirit. He convicted you, right? So it means that he's not done with you. Because the final stage is what? Spiritual. Because he's what? Spirit. The Bible said that for God is what? Spirit. And they that worship must worship him in truth and in what? In spirit. So God can never accept anything that is not of the spirit. So he has to first of all take you from the natural state and bring you to the first state, which is what? The carnal state. And the carnal state is when your spirit is regenerated. Born again. The Holy Spirit does not leave you there. But many Christians have become victims of carnality because they didn't receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit that is meant for the believer. So today I said, I'm going to show you what will happen to you when you are not receiving the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when you become born again. And today I'm going to examine yourself, whether you have crossed from carnality to what? Spirituality. And if you want to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer is in two folds, which is what we are going to study. And what we are going to see, the mode by which is delivered. Number one, the ministry of transformation and the ministry of empowerment. And we are going to see how the Holy Spirit is able to master peace of transforming man from natural to carnal to spiritual and empowering such a person that the new believer can never be, no force can stand him. The true empowerment of the Holy Spirit on the life of the believer is reflective in how transformed that believer is. So the state of carnality is a very sensitive state of the believer. That in the book of Romans chapter 8, which we read, that is what we're going to really draw. I wish you can give me the New Living Translation of that very... Give me the New Living Translation of the Romans chapter 8, because that is what we are going to do our... Oh, Jesus. So when we talk of carnal people, we are not talking about unbelievers. Do you agree with me now? Do you agree with me now? Good. That carnal people are not unbelievers. They are born again Christians. Now let's start from the verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of what? The flesh. But they that are after the spirit, the things of what? The spirit. Let's read. Go to the next verse. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritual minded is life and what? Peace. In other words, when somebody is born again, the newborn believer is yet to learn how to survive or receive the life of God or make effect of the life of God. Let's take a typical picture of a newborn babe. If you have ever had opportunity to witness a child process of growth or a newborn babe, you see that when a baby is born, if it is believed that the first 3 months, they don't consider that child as what? A being yet. Because it's in the process of what? Gaining life. The life we are talking about here has nothing to do with breath. I have already explained to you when we say life. Obra. One Bobra. A life lived. So the life we are talking over here has nothing to do with the breath you are breathing. We are talking about the things that are manifesting in your life. The Bible said to be carnally minded is what?
Death.
But to be spiritually what? Minded is what? Life and peace. The previous verse said that for, give me the verse 5 again. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of what?
The flesh.
What am I trying to say? When you are born again, your act, your behavior, and everything that you are capable of doing is not different from those who are in the world. Because you have not gained the mastery of bringing out what has happened to your spirit into your soul to manifest physically. So when you were born, did you know A, B, C, D when you were in your mother's womb? The school you have attended has defined the kind of transformation that has happened in your life. The society you grew up in has defined the kind of transformation you have right now. The family you were born into is what is defining where you are right now. Thank God you are fortunate. Because some people were born the same year, the same time with you, who were very unfortunate that their parents didn't know God. If God has, by his mercy, has not reached out to them. Born into a very poor home. Even not poor home. Born into a home where they did not appreciate anything about academics. I know people. I grew up in the village. I knew people whose parents were having money then. And none of their children crossed the ages. They found no need for education. Because they never went to school. Or they never saw anybody whose life had been transformed academically. So all they thought is that their children, the best they can have is cocoa farm. So the moment you grow a little, they take you to the farm. I'm going to mobile school 1 week. I'm going to go farm 1 week. So they are in Nobwa with the school. I come 1 week. You take 1 week. Today, if you see their life, the transformation that has happened to them is as a result of the things they were exposed to. So it is not their fault that they are doing what they are doing now. It's because of the exposure they have. Why? But they were all born. So when you are born again, there are procedures that bring, for all you know, such a person could have been a lawyer. Such a person could have been a medical doctor. Such a person could have been doing something very powerful. But because somebody didn't give him the room, or the society couldn't create that enabling atmosphere for the person, whatever capabilities that is in that life never came out. So it is with a newborn believer, that as powerful as you are because the Spirit of God is in you, when there is no transformation by the help of the Holy Spirit in your life, you are no better off than somebody who is dead. So the Bible said, in the book of Romans chapter 8 was very, let's read more. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about those sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control you, your mind, leads to what? Death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to what? Life and peace. Verse 7, for the sinful nature is always hostile towards God. Are you with me? It's always what? Hostile to what? We are in verse 8, right? Or verse 7. Verse 7. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it will never will. That is why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Do you know why you are struggling to live a sin-free life? Because the sinful nature, when you are born again, does not live. He is there. When you became born again, have you changed? Has your look changed? Are you not the same person? So the sinful nature is still there. So now there are two bosses in your spirit, in your system. When you are controlled by the sinful nature, you cannot please God, because it is not designed to obey God. And a carnal Christian is the person whose life is controlled and manipulated by sinful nature. Then he continued to say in verse 9, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if ye have the Spirit of God living in you. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer is to what? Make sure that the believer's life is not controlled by sinful nature. So the Bible says carnality will make you not to obey God. So when you are born again and you are not helped in the church to be exposed to the ministry of transformation of the Holy Spirit, you are subjected to total dominance and control of the flesh. It doesn't matter whoever led you to Christ. It's very dangerous in a church where the people's life is not exposed to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to show you how the Holy Spirit causes transformation in your life. That's what we're going to study. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. So he's talking about those who are not born again. So the unbeliever and you, there must be a distinction, because they don't have the Spirit of Christ in them. So their life is totally controlled by the what? By the sinful nature. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life, because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from dead, He will give you life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. This is talking about transfiguration. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, very important, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do, for you live by for if you live by its dictates, you will what? Die. Verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you what? Do you understand the point of that? It says that nobody can ever have a fruitful relationship with God if he's still dominated by what? The dictates of the flesh. So when the Holy Spirit translates you into the kingdom, He transforms you in the kingdom. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer. Transformation. And if transformation does not happen to the believer, the end is that the believer what? Will die. This death here is not death to going to hell. You will never have any fruitful life with God. So you see somebody born again, but you can't differentiate between the person and an unbeliever. Yeah, bro, yeah, bro. Yes, yeah, yes. And my pay in a baby. Corruption, yeah, yeah. It's not their fault. If you investigate the life of such a believer, you will find out that there has not been any strategic system to cause transformation in them. They were born again. Then all they knew that they came to church and is empowerment, received anointing, and then the empowerment shut them up without corresponding what? Transformation. So when they got there, the transformation that can sponsor that empowerment of the Holy Spirit is not there. So they begin to pay the price. So they are the ones who say, hey, those days I'm here born again. Yeah, those days when I was a Christian, or those days when we were young, when we were serving God, the zeal and the fire was there, but there was no transformation to continue. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer is very essential, because there is no way you can have life, continuous flow of communication with God, as long as you are being dominated or living according to the flesh. And when you are born again, the Bible says that you are out, carnal, means that you are easily manipulated by flesh. And I spoke about the repentance, right? Remember, I talked about repentance. Then the verse 14 concludes the key word here. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of. So your being called a child of God is not necessarily being born again, but how the Spirit of God lead you. To be carnally minded is what? Is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So a life that is lived by the influence of the Holy Spirit is the life of the people we call them the children of what? So when you are quoting this scripture now, know what you are quoting. Romans 8:14, as many that are led by the Spirit of God, he's talking about people who have left carnality to what? Spirituality. The question is, are you spiritual? Spirituality has nothing to do with the tongues that you blow or the depth of your tongues language. Spirituality has to do with how far you are from carnality. The question is, how far are you from carnality? Because Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians said, when I came, I wanted to talk to you, but do you see the things he taught in 1 Corinthians? I remember one of the studies that Daddy Joe took us through. Said that if babes, they are teaching is 1 Corinthians, then what will be the teachings of spiritual people? The whole book of 1 Corinthians was the book for babes, carnal people. So the gift of the Spirit is for carnal Christians. Now, can you see how dangerous it is? Paul was talking about heavy things, about the gift of the Spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all this depth. He was talking to carnal Christians, people whose life is still dominated and manipulated by the flesh. So spirituality has nothing to do with how gifted you are in the kingdom. It has to do with how far are you from carnality. It's my prayer that we will allow the Spirit to transform us. Paul said, therefore, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you will present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and not acceptable unto Christ. So be ye what? Transformed. Many believers have been translated, but they don't want transformation. Have not been transformed. And it's as a result that we have not allowed the Holy Spirit to work transformation in our life. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit needs to help the born again Christian, because the moment you are born, you are still not so far from the things of the flesh. Do you get it? Now let me get you the clear picture here. You see, the soul of a man is like a remote. Whatever you input into it, it will respond to it. The soul is the neutral system in the three components of man. Whatever is instructing the soul, it will take it. Do you really get it? So if it is the flesh, pleasure and those things that has been instructing it for a time, the soul will be heading towards the things of the flesh. If it is the Spirit, it will head towards the things of the Spirit. So when you become born again, the Spirit of God will begin to what? Influence you. So now you are subjected to the Holy Spirit, that you now begin to be mindful of the things of what? The Spirit. You cannot do it by yourself. No amount of teaching and rebuke can help a person to stay out of carnality except the Holy Spirit. That's what Romans chapter 8 is saying. He said, if that Spirit that rose Jesus is on your mortal bodies, it shall quicken you, edify you. So the ability to stand against the dictates of the flesh lies in the supply of the Holy Spirit. So anybody who is not, that's why you shouldn't play with your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. As many that are led, not by scriptures, by the Spirit of God. What is leading you? What is influencing your life? We are in generations where those who are leading us are men. I'm not saying that the place of the pastor is not needed, But the pastor is not the one who has been designed to lead you. It's the Holy Spirit. The pastor is to guide you to the leadings of the Holy Spirit. No wonder somebody said that my pastor is the living word. The reason why you wake up every morning and pray and seek his presence is because he is the one who is able to help you to deal with carnality. Therefore, the greatest need of every new believer is transformation. Can we read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14? The natural man receive not the things of what? The Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually what? Discerned. A carnal Christian is the one who has issues with things of the Spirit. See, don't be angry at people when they are in church and they ask, why do we fast? Are you with me? Pastor, so why should I wake up and pray for 3 hours, 4 hours? Do you really get it? Don't have issues with people. Why should I pay tithe? Because from the previous reading we did in the book of Romans chapter 8, he said that the carnal Christian, the behavior of that carnal Christian is not far from the one who is not born again. And if it's not far from the natural man, then such a person what? It's not the things of what? The Spirit. So Paul said, I wish I could talk to you like spiritual people, but because you are still in your carnal state, I couldn't give you a spiritual thing. They see it as foolishness. Oh, there was once a time when you saw people praying, Kaye, Kaye, this is crazy. Did I not do anything? Oh, are you not doing it? There was once a time, you say, hey, Christians, oh, these people, dear. What kind of foolishness is that? You go and give all your money to a pastor that you are so easy. You say something. Didn't you say something? Even though you are born again. You said it because you are still in your carnal state and you have not been able to allow the Spirit of God to transform you into the spiritual state. So the danger we have is that when people become born again and we don't allow the Holy Spirit to work on them, this is what we're going to have in the church. People who have strong hate and resistance to the things that are spiritual. And this was the plight of Paul in the book of Corinth. Paul really meant to teach them certain things, but he couldn't. Because when he weighed them, they are carnal. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I said, to the believer is to cause transformation. From the state of carnality to the state of what? Spirituality. Where you can be able to receive the things of what? The Spirit. Do you know why many believers are not able to, God is not able to lift many people? Because carnality is the limitation. In the book of Galatians chapter 6, the Bible said, as long as he remains what? A child, suffering not from what? But it's subjected unto what? Tutors and governors. As long as you are born again and remain a child, carnal. Do you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Don't leave. He said, how did he describe carnal people? But as unto what? Carnal. Even as unto what? Babes in what? Christ. So if you decide to remain a babe in Christ, you will always be subjected to tutors and governors. You will never reach your potentials in the things of the kingdom. You see why it is a disadvantage to the believer that you don't understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit to allow him to transform you, because you are just denying yourself what God has for you. Are you with me? So we need to understand that when we are born again, we don't automatically become spiritual. But are you with me? We need to understand this and admit it, that when we are born again, we are not automatically what? Spiritual. we become what? Carnal. And then we journey from carnality to what? Spiritualities. So when you are here, you want to know how spiritual, you ask yourself, how carnal have I? How far am I from carnality? How are you dominated by the things of the flesh? I pray for you. I pray for you that God will take you through a journey of transformation. And that journey is called a journey of what? Repentance. Repentance is not only a one-day act, but it is a continuous life of what? Alignment with God. Be ye transformed by the renewal of mind. So the Spirit of God will want to always have influence over your mind, such that you will come into alignment with Him, that the things of the Spirit will not be foolishness unto you. It is normal for a newborn believer to still go to the club and mingle with people. You see why they had no problem with sacode kakra, geometric kakra. Oh, when I say this, you people, you laugh. I'm serious. Benam boy kakra, Victorine Jesu kakra. Give unto Kaiser what is Kaiser's. It's not their fault, because that is carnality at work. So it is that we need to pray for them and put in systems and structures that can help them to be connected to the transformational life of the Holy Spirit. Because no amount of preaching can take somebody from the club. It is the Holy Spirit who can do that. See, no amount of teachings and preaching can take somebody out of the life of corruption. Oh yeah, they obey. It is the Holy Spirit. If the heart of the person is not convicted, you can't do nothing about it. So at the end of the day, the convictions of the Spirit of God, the heart. So take it easy on people. Take it easy when they are born again. Take it easy, because they are in a journey. They are in a journey where the Holy Spirit will work on them. Because there are things you used to do some time ago. Are you doing it anymore? How long did it take your pastor to break your first relationship that was ungodly? So for Kanya, just say, hey, we're going to cry. God, this is where you're from, man. Can we give glory to the name of the Lord? That's why we need to understand that this is what you need. That's why when you see somebody as a Christian, you know how to minister to the person. You weigh the level of spirituality of the person. So the Holy Spirit minister unto us transformation. So from conviction, we come to what? Transformation. Hallelujah. The second ministry of the Holy Spirit, or the second phase of what the Holy Spirit does to the believer, is what I called the empowerment. Not only do the Holy Spirit transform the believer from carnality to spirituality, however, He empowers that spiritual man to live according to the things of the Spirit. And this empowerment is what we called the anointing. Acts chapter 10, the verse 38. How God has anointed Jesus Christ with the what? Holy Spirit, and with what? Power. Very important. It is not enough to subject Christians to the transformational life of the Holy Spirit, but the empowerment life of the Holy Spirit. For the kingdom of God is not of words, but it is of what? Power. You will be a lying Christian if you cannot prove what you claim you are. Because when it comes to the matters of kingdom, it is a matter of power against power. So it is not enough to live a transformed Christian life. You are not, you are far from carnality. That is, are you able to demonstrate the power of God? So if you check the life of the disciples in the book of John, the chapter 20, verse 21, He brought into them the Holy Spirit. And in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, He told them, wait, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, give you power. That is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is in two folds: the in baptism for transformation, then upon baptism for empowerment. So as He's in you, causing transformation, causing you to become in the likeness of Christ, He's upon you, manifesting His what? His power. So we have many spiritual Christians who are powerless. Let it be far from you that your family witches will use you for project work. Oh, you don't say amen. Let it be far from you that a mortal man will threaten you and you will shake. That is a powerless spiritual Christian. Let it be far from you that the things of this world will not be at your command. The Bible said, have thou commanded thy mourning? So when Jesus came on this earth, he walked on water to prove that there is an anointing upon his life that has authority over nature. He raised the dead to demonstrate that there is power on his life. So in the book of Acts, in the book of Luke, I think Luke chapter 14, he said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. May you be anointed. Oh, I said, may you be anointed. It's not enough to be spiritual. You need to operate in power. So Paul said, when I came to you, I didn't come by the enticing words of men, but the demonstration. Oh, Jesus. Imagine a lawyer who stands at the court, and whilst he's cross-examining you, the Spirit of the Lord opens his eyes and gives evidences that not even man knows. That is power. Imagine a medical doctor, after all medical operations and everything has failed, he said, this thing is not physical. Let me switch to the spiritual. He lays and said, I command you out, demon, leave this man alone. And instantly the person rise up. Oh, I pray for you. May you not be a powerless spiritual Christian. Oh, are you with me? May you not be a powerless spiritual Christian. We are looking for people in this time and season who will not only profess that they are Christians by the way of life they live and how far they are from carnality, but the demonstration of the power of God. This word answers to power. You became a Christian because they promised you power. Jesus said that you shall receive power. Is that the reason you are born again? Are you with me? So don't just jump into that. No. Power is very necessary. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer also is in line with the release of power. As we journey in this series, as we journey in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I pray for you. Receive power to do. Receive power to do. The anointing of God is that ability that is able to override every physical weakness. That is what came up for people like Samson, who was a natural man, but was able to take the gate of his enemy. It is the same power that came upon people like Peter, that even though he ran away from a young lady, there was a time in his life, he told the man that what I have is what I give you. I don't know what you are giving men, but I know that we have something that is called the power of God. And when we begin to disseminate that power, the cripple will walk, the blind will see, and the lame will walk, the dead will come back to life, and things that are seem impossible shall be possible, because the ministry of the Holy Spirit upon our life is the demonstration of the power of God. I pray for you that you will not be a laughing stock, because there's nothing to justify that you are born again. People should be very careful of what they do because you are around. Then you are in a class and then when we were in UCC, one of these days we were praying at the Casford field, and the traditional guys, Casford guys, they said there was a whole celebration they had come to do, and they had come to do some sacrifice, and we are praying over there. So they sent a messenger to come and tell us that if we don't leave, we are interrupting, we are making noise, we are interrupting, and if we don't leave, they will show us where power lies. And I told the guy to go and tell them that I come from Volta region. My grandfather said Nongobo. If Nongobo powers couldn't kill me till now, I don't know which of your power can kill me. In that anger, we intensified the prayers, and now we face them. At the end of the day, they left. I'm here. I have that holy anger when I see people want to. Because there is somebody at work in us who is called the Holy Spirit, who is the source of all powers. Let no man intimidate you. You are here. Your academic life is intimidating you. So where is the Holy Spirit? You were here when the prophet of God came to give a testimony. He went to pray. And, oh, Jesus, you don't believe it. There is that dimension of the Holy Spirit that you have a superior advantage over even your lecturer. We are giving you the secret of how some of us pass through the university. If you can apply it in your university life, how can you apply it in your real life? And you come here, I come to cry, and pastor, and this paper and this subject. Are you serious? Or you've not read the scriptures? But I can do all things. I can do all things. I can pass all papers. I pray for you that power will be released. Power will be released. Power will be released. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer is in two folds or in two phases. Number one, transformation. Very important. Very, very important. Number two, empowerment. Very important. You need both of this to be able to live a life worth of Christian. A life worth to be called a Christian life. So show me a Christian who is relevant, and I'll show you how balanced he is in what? Transformation and the demonstration of power. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. How God has anointed Jesus Christ with Holy Ghost. He went about doing good. This year you will do good. I said you will do good. You will do good in the mighty name of Jesus. So now, how do the Holy Spirit minister to the believer? How do the Holy Spirit minister to the believer? That's what we are going to do. Five things or five ways by which the Holy Spirit ministers transformation and empowerment. Five ways. And this is the five ways we are going to examine. Because if you understand these five ways by which the Holy Spirit ministers transformation and empowerment, you are good to go. Hallelujah. Number one, the ministry of teaching. The ministry of teaching. The Holy Spirit, through teachings and in scriptures, is able to transform the believer, which is called light. So it is the teachings of the Holy Spirit that brings revelation and understanding called light. So when we start talking about the manifestations of the Spirit, we are going to find out what we call the light of God, which is the product of what? Revelation and what? Understanding. So one of the ways the Holy Spirit transforms the believer is through teachings. He will teach you all things. And that teaching is what we call revelation. So it's not what I'm doing here. This is what? Informative what? A revelation. I'm informing you. But the true revelation of God is by the what the Holy Spirit will open up in your heart, which we call Rhema. When he does that to you, that will give understanding and produce light. And you know, light drives away darkness. Carnality is a life of darkness. So the amount of light you have determines the darkness that is far from you. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So he teaches. So the way he transforms is to teach you. Number two, he activates. The ministry of activation. It's the Holy Spirit's sole responsibility to activate your spiritual organs. Nobody do that for you. It's the Holy Spirit. Because when you are born again, you know that when a child is born, it takes time for his eyes to see clearly. Then the hand will start moving. It's good to be here. I'm learning some small things. Because I've been observing. I said, okay. Last month, he was not able to do this. Now I can see he's doing this. So his systems are picking up things he has to do. At first, anything you do, he will cry about it. But now he gives signals that I need this. So he's reducing the crying. Yeah, you're monitoring. So the moment you see him doing ABC, so now even all of us in the house, we know that the moment he starts opening his mouth and, you know, he wants food. But at first, we don't know. He will cry. Nobody can activate your spiritual organs for you, the Holy Spirit. And that is what's going to help you to relate spiritually. So the way of transformation is that he first of all activates your spiritual organs. So when those spiritual organs are activated, that is when you start to desire prayers. He said, do you know what we normally call it? You have entered into a realm. That realm is an activation of your organ. So at first you didn't like prayer. Is that not it? But an activation was done to you. You started loving prayer. So the Holy Spirit will activate your spiritual senses. Everything you need to make you spiritually active and alive. So the more you pray, start there, we see that you become more active and responsive to the things of God. Do you know what was prophecy, a word of knowledge? It is the Spirit of God who activated them. And you started seeing. So the second ministry of transformation is to activate those spiritual senses so that you can be able to receive spiritual things. We will talk about them. I just want to mention them. How many have I given? Two. The third one is the ministry of guidance and direction. One of the major ways by which the Holy Spirit transforms a man and empowers a man is through guidance and not direction. What is guidance? Guidance is being told where to go. Sorry, direction is being told where to go. Guidance is being told how to get there. It is of the Holy Spirit to tell you where you are going and how to get there. That is why if a prophet gives you direction without helping you to receive daily guidance from the Holy Spirit, he has done you more damage than good. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, direction, and a light unto my path, guidance. This is where the danger of prophecy is. You don't only need directions, you need what? Guidance. He shall guide you into all truth. So it is a daily affair. The Holy Spirit, by directions. You will be a bank manager. In fact, Bank of Ghana. Make sure you don't collapse our bank. But it is the Holy Spirit who will guide you on your daily walk together. So it is not enough to receive directions. You need what? Guidance. And we are going to see how the Holy Spirit ministers both direction and guidance in our course of transformation. It's his ministry. How he services you to receive direction. That's why you dream. You woke up and you have traveled. I have a problem with people. Why is that? When you dream and you traveled, you don't have issues with it. But when you dream and you're in a coffin, you have issues with it. Prophet of God, why do they have problem with that one? Is it that we believe evil more than good? How many times do you share with your pastor in the dreams you had that you have traveled? It's only the ones that you had that they've killed you. That is why the Holy Spirit is interested in your dream bed, because he can give you directions or not through dreams. He can give you guidance towards dreams. How many have I given so far? The number four is the ministry of renewal. The ministry of what? Renewal. Be not drunk with excess wine, wherein thou art not filled. By what? Be filled with the Spirit of God. Making melodies in psalms, in spiritual songs. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to cause daily renewal. So the Bible said, they that wait on the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. That job is the Holy Spirit. As human as we are subjected to what? Tiredness. The Bible said, even the young men shall go hungry and what? Weary. Young men. So to keep this constant in your spiritual life, you see this flow, it will take the Holy Spirit to continually renew you. That is why you are trained to go for retreat. That's how you come there. How he ministers renewal to you. That's why you are trained to go for retreat. That is why it's abomination to wake up in the morning without receiving. Because the steadfast love of the Lord do not cease. His mercy do not come to him, but they are new. Sorry for you if you are living on what you had yesterday. So it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to renew. Cause renewal. How many have I given? Four. The last one. So, the ministry of the anointing. It is the Holy Spirit's job to anoint you. No man can empower you to do the work of God. There's no any form of empowerment class or summit that can help you to effectively decide what God wants you to do. It is the Holy Spirit who empowers you through the anointing. So my head has thou anointed with oil. He said, David have I found, with my holy oil have I anointed him. So the Spirit of God will always give you an anointing to execute a task. But let me help you with this. Whenever an anointing comes, it's for a specific task. So whatever, if you have received an anointing to pass exams, it's different from an anointing to be in relationship. They are not the same. Every anointing is to a specific task. Yes. So you should know what you've been anointed to do, or what you have received an anointing for. Because yes, if you try what you have not been anointed to do, you fail with all kinds of excellency in failing. Because the anointing is designed to do something specific. You see, some people have been able to combine school with ministry and other stuff. It is an anointing. Some of us, we have not received that anointing, so we are minding our business. You try and be a surveyor like Osofu Dennis and see if you can make the progress he's making. You have not been anointed. Stay in your lane. It is because of the anointing that is why we complement each other, that we don't compete each other. Because you know that you don't have the capacity to do what your friend is doing. Are you with me? So it is of the Holy Spirit to release unto you the capabilities to do something for him in the kingdom. These are the five ways or mode by which the Holy Spirit calls transformation and empowerment in the life of what? The believer. When the believer is exposed to these things, you will see that the believer will begin to move from carnality to spirituality. And you will see the believer to be able to accomplish things that naturally he or she cannot do because of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I pray for you that you will not be a born-again Christian living in your carnality. If you keep living in carnality, I can promise you that you will never go far. You are subjected to death. That is, you have no life with God. You have nothing to do with God. You will become an experiment of the devil. You become the frustrated Christian that you hate God with all passion. Haven't you heard people who are accusing God that is the reason why their life is like this? It's because they never left the stage of carnality. I pray you not get to that stage where you accuse God. If you continue to remain a babe, a carnal Christian, you refuse to be transformed. A time will come, you accuse God. And then let me give a typical example of the accusation. Abraham will be asking, let me see. So you may be a Christian, you know. Have you not heard those things? When I was sent the world, when I was a slave queen, at least I was able to have a 3-square me. But when I became a Christian, so Christianity is a scam. Yes, to the carnal Christian, it's a scam. But to the spiritual Christian, it is life. It is the best thing that can happen to them. See, I said, don't scam your own self. Because when you get to heaven, you find out that you were the one who scammed your own self. God has nothing to do with it. Because he has given you all things pertaining to life. I pray for you that you will not remain in carnality. You will be spiritual. So that when people come to you, they will not talk to you like babes. They will talk to you like the spiritual. Speaking spiritual things to you in the name of Jesus. And I also pray for you that not only will you be a spiritual Christian, but a spiritual Christian who is able to release the power of God. I pray that you will be anointed. I pray that you will be anointed. Receive the anointing of God in everything you do in the name of Jesus. You will be anointed in business. You will be anointed in your marriage. You will be anointed in your academics. You will be anointed in leadership. Anything you will do shall be anointed. How God has anointed Jesus Christ with Holy Ghost and with power. I pray for you, wherever you go, people will see the work of the anointing. Because the Spirit of God is coming upon you as power, as an anointing in the name of Jesus. It is in the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to anoint you, to anoint you. I pray the anointing on you. You will not fail in life.
because you are not anointed to fail her. Mandibro shebre kapaya, imo pelabasaya. The Bible says, for the sake of the anointing, all yokes shall be broken. May you leap over every family limitation in the mighty name of Jesus. What your father couldn't achieve, what your mother couldn't achieve, wherever the anointing is, the yoke shall be broken, because of the anointing. The systems of Ghana will not limit you, because of the yoke, the anointing, the yokes will be broken. I pray for you, you will not be a miserable spiritual Christian, but an empowered Christian, that no economy shall bring you down, even in the land of Gerard, when there was famine, you will sow and there will be hundredfold, sir. I pray for you, that even if you go down Egypt, you will come out with substance, because touch not the anointed, and do not the prophet harm. I pray for you as we journey in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. New life will be an expression of the anointing. Receive the anointing of God. Receive the anointing of God. I prophesy into your life. This year, men and women shall come to your rising. Arise and shine, thou anointed one. For the Spirit of the Lord has come upon you. It's the season of the anointed. The Bible says, for the anointed shall never be brought down. The Lord that transformed David from a mere shepherd to the king ever that Israel has ever had, he will be with you because of the anointing. Because of the anointing. Maki Broshaya, it is of the Holy Spirit. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. To service you, give you all capabilities. Yes, you shall be an international manager. Your business shall not be limited to the four corners of your village and your town, because an anointing. I said you will not fail in life. I said you will not fail. God has anointed you. You are too anointed to fail. You are too anointed to fail. Is somebody rising to pray? And activating the anointing upon your life. It bring no more. I said you are anointed. You are anointed. See how the anointing is lifting you into palace. See how the anointing is lifting you to presidential gatherings. See how the anointing is lifting you to places that mere men cannot go. Receive the anointing of God. Receive the anointing. When men are saying there's a casting down, you are saying there is a lifting up, because of the anointing of God. Because of the anointing of God. Thou anointed one. Mande mamako sende. Do you know why people cannot touch you? Because you are anointed. Because you are anointed. Because you are anointed. No man can compete with you in your own lane. You are special. Special in your own lane. Because of the anointing. Lift up your voice and pray. Because God is anointing you right now. The Holy Spirit is anointing you. Come on, receive the anointing. Oh, because of the anointing, all yokes are broken. Your father couldn't travel, that does not mean you will not travel. If they failed in marriage, you will not fail. If they failed academically, you will not fail. Because of the anointing. Manda babako besaya. Hey! You will not fail. It is of the Holy Spirit to minister to you the anointing. How God has anointed Jesus Christ. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. He has anointed me. Oh, Mano Messiah. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. Can you give me the next verse? Mama Mako Shebrataya. Lift up your voice and pray. Adekomomo Shebrantaka. Oh, Rama Mako Seye. Ilomba Baba Kasaya. In Tebrendo se, oh, Mako Rababo se, Irena Mama Makadia, and Diko Basa, Oh, Baba, with whom my hand shall be established, my arm also shall strengthen him. Oh, receive the anointing. Receive the anointing. Receive the anointing. See what the anointing is doing in the life of David. See what the anointing is doing. Hey, his enemies will not defeat him, nor will the wicked overpower him. I will beat down his adversaries before him and destroy those who hate him. My faithfulness and unfading love will be with him, and by my authority he will grow in power. I will extend his rule over the sea, his dominion over the rivers, and he shall call unto me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation, and I'll make him my first son, the mightiest king on earth. I will love him and be kind to him forever. My covenant with him will never end. I will preserve an heir for him. His throne shall be an endless as the days of the heaven. But if this is what the anointing can do. This is what the anointing can do to you. Oh, David, my servant, have I found. With my holy oil have I anointed him. Yes. The Holy Spirit is anointing you. He's anointing you. Ah, thank you, Father.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.